Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Give it to me!
Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And welcome to It's a Thing. It must be Friday because it's time for the weekly podcast supported by you, where the things are turning, the things are dropping, the things are bubbling up, the things are brewing all around us. And we are here to curate them for you
May I say, Ms. Molly Wood,
yes.
I'm always looking forward to doing the show. We always have a good time in the pre-show hanging out with the Discord. But yeah. The moment you say, hi, I'm Molly Wood, I involuntarily smile every episode.
Oh, now I have a little goosebump, but I'm all happy. We are so
lucky.
It's
just so fun.
It is. It really is. I texted these guys earlier today, Tom and Rich, and I was like, it's my favorite part of the day, 2 p.m. on Friday, when my weird little reminders that I've been setting on my iPhone start popping up telling me
things.
They're my things.
I'm going to take a page out of your book and recommend a television show as my thing. Right.
Oh,
now.
Hey.
And
okay.
I think I have some justification for it as well. But the show is Apple TV Plus's Ted Lasso, starring Jason Sudeikis.
Oh, you know, I believe this may be a thing because several people have recommended it to me.
Yes. And that kind of bolsters where I'm going with this. For those who don't know, the show is actually based on a series of NBC sports promos. So shouldn't have worked on paper. Like, you're basing a television show on promos for soccer on NBC sports. The idea of the promos was that Jason Sudeikis was playing a college football coach from America in Kansas who gets hired to coach a British soccer team. And he doesn't know anything about soccer. Ha
right.
ha ha. Right.
Yeah.
The show carries that premise forward, but in a way that was unexpected for me, because you think, oh, okay, so they're going to make fun of the, you know, the hick from Kansas and all the American tropes, and he doesn't know anything about soccer, and how dumb is he, and all that stuff, which they do play on that. They don't avoid that.
They do.
But Ted Lasso himself is really smart. They didn't make him a dumb character. They didn't make him insensitive. They made him a really good guy.
Yeah.
Huh. So he took his Division II football team to the national championship. He knows how to coach players. And you see that right from the beginning where it's like, oh, he knows how to coach players. He knows how to coach these players, even though they're not, you know, U.S. college football players. He knows how to coach. He just doesn't know the game. And he needs to figure out that part of it and the culture. So there's a lot of, you know, culture clash, but the culture clash isn't like, oh, he'll finally figure out, you know, how to navigate the British culture. It's more like, oh yeah, no, I'm just going to be myself and I'll fit in somehow.
Right.
And both of those things, the fact that he's not dumb, that he actually does know how to coach and that he's not trying to change himself, are key to making that whole thing work. They were excellent decisions. On top of that, there's a reason he took this job. They don't just be like, it's funny and that's it. Like they give you like a really deep reason.
There's like
it
a
is
backstory.
So heartwarming.
Really?
This show makes me proud to be an American. Like
aww.
It's amazing. And so I said that a couple, like watched the first episode, said something nice about Twitter, got a few people going, yeah, I kind of like this too. And then I caught up and watched, you know, all 5 episodes that they had out at the time. Said something else about it online and like a bunch more people were like, oh my gosh, me too. I love this show. It's exactly what I need right now. So, so the fact that you're also hearing people like jumping in and going, oh my gosh, you have to watch it.
Yep.
I think it's a thing.
And not just you. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. Huh. This is like, and it's one of those things that's on a streaming service that I don't have and I'm going to have to figure it out because dang it. But it's true. Like of all the things that have come out, this is the one, and it was renewed, right? This is the one that people do seem to be
Yeah, they already ordered the second season.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just because like it's better than the real sports, which are just sort of dystopian and sad.
That might be part of it too. But you don't have to know anything about sports to enjoy it. Like right. It's not like, you know, hardcore on the sporty sport part of it. I mean, if you just hate the idea of sports being in front of your eyeballs, there are people playing soccer. Can't get away from that.
But, by the way, I want a t-shirt that says hardcore on the sporty sport.
Please, we really need a store.
Awesome. We really need a store so bad, since apparently we're never going to get to have the party. Hardcore on the sporty sport. Guys.
With a, you know, someone holding a racquetball racket or something. But yeah, Ted Lasso. And yes, the reason I think it's become a thing is I'm not seeing a ton of marketing for it. I'm seeing a little bit.
Right.
But it seems to be getting as much grassroots word of mouth kind of spread as it is, you know, the Apple spend. And when I've mentioned it online, people jump in. Like, people usually, you know, you mention something, you get a few responses. I get like twice the responses on Ted Lasso than I normally get.
That is fascinating. Well, this is causing me to flip-flop the order of my things because my thing is also sporty sport related.
Aha. Uh-huh.
In a way. Do you follow Rex Chapman on Twitter?
No, I do not. Who is Rex Chapman?
Well, Rex Chapman is a thing on Twitter. I follow him. He is he's just a really interesting dude with a really interesting backstory. He used to be a professional basketball player, and he was with the Hornets, Charlotte Hornets, and then got addicted to opioids, like got arrested for shoplifting, has this whole crazy backstory. But any now he's like a broadcaster for University of Kentucky basketball games, and he's really interesting and does a lot about opioids and athletics. But he is a thing on Twitter, and he's a thing because he posts all these like delightful videos. He is literally like the best part of my day on Twitter. It's like a lot of animal videos, a lot of fun TikToks. He's he kind of constantly, like, he'll post a, you know, post like a cute dog video, and it always says like dogs, bruh. Or it'll be like animals, bruh, or Amazon, bruh.
So, the perfect TikTok exists, and it's a turtle being unbothered swimming past an alligator.
Totally.
That's crazy.
And then like tons of dog stuff. Like, he definitely is of the opinion that we don't deserve dogs. I think he may have originated that, you know, like, we don't deserve dogs. But what's so great about him is that I feel like since the pandemic started, and partly because he's just so cheerful, and he is not always cheerful. Like, he campaigns heavily against Mitch McConnell because he's from Kentucky, right? Or he talks about how opioids are such a scourge.
Sure.
But 9 out of every 10 posts is just like something wonderful. And he has built this audience, and he's at almost 1 million followers. But I swear to you that like 2 months ago, he was at like 500,000 followers. And I don't even know how I came across him, but I've sort of started to notice that like anything that is cool, funny, or cute, I eventually see first from Rex Chapman. Therefore, I've decided he is a thing. And also, I keep finding myself saying, like, I say, like, whatever, whatever, bruh. Dogs, bruh. Or the other day, I was like, mac and cheese, bruh. Because it's so great. He's just
Twitter.com/Rex Chapman. It's just RexChapman. All right.
Yeah. He is just... he's outstanding. And when you're scrolling through his feed, he's really good at social media. So you'll see like the same post a bunch of times, or people are smiling to him or whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. But honestly, it's just a delight. He is just a delight.
He's following 16,000 people too. I guess that's part of the build up your audience.
I guess he follows back. Yeah.
Twitter tells me that Rex Chapman is also followed by Gadget and Doug Woodson.
Huh. I get he is also followed by Preet Bharara, The Ringer, and 112 others you follow. So apparently he's big in my circle.
53 others that I follow. Yeah. Huh.
Interesting. I don't know. I love him. And now you're going to start seeing him everywhere. Not
Rex
just
Chapman.
Because you followed him, I think. But
yeah. Thank you for introducing me.
It's delightful.
This looks fun. Yeah. It looks delightful. Exactly.
He'll cheer you right up.
We need that in your feed. Curate your own feeds, folks. You know, If you're seeing some account that makes you outraged, even if you agree with it, if it just constantly makes you angry, maybe mute it or unfollow it for a while to calm yourself down and follow somebody like Rex Chapman.
It is okay to have just like wonderful dog content. And he always says too, like there's one today where it's like a little girl, somebody taking a video of her baby daughter seeing a waterfall for the first time. And the little girl is looking at the camera. I mean, and she's probably like 8 months old, just looking at the camera like, oh my God. And he's like, this is the content that I'm here for. And I'm like, me too, man. Me too.
Watch a little Ted Lasso, read a little Rex Chapman. Sounds like they'll be better to me.
Feel good for a minute. Feel good.
Speaking of people who make the world feel good. Keanu Reeves.
I mean, seriously.
So Bill and Ted Face the Music movie came out last week. Keanu Reeves, we've mentioned as a thing before on the show, for sure. He turned 56 Wednesday. Happy birthday, Keanu Reeves. And now people are convinced that he is, in fact, a vampire.
Yeah.
Because he always looks the same. Sure, his hair changes. He grows a mustache. I don't know on what vampire rules are, whether you can grow a mustache and shave it off and still be a vampire or not. But not only do they have all these pictures of him going back to 1991, where it's like, man, he really does look pretty much the same in 2020 as he did in 1991. But also they have art from 1875 and 1530, like paintings of people who very much look like Keanu Reeves.
Just saying, guys, just throwing that out there. They really do. Oh my God, I had not seen that at all. That is incredible.
Is Keanu Reeves our generation's Dick Clark?
Maybe.
Dick Clark was my mom's generation's Dick Clark. You know, he was the guy who never aged.
He's like almost even more ageless than Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd's the other one.
Yeah.
Who never ages. Uh-huh. And it really is amazing. But yeah, now that I'm looking at these photos, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, that looking at 1991, you're like, oh, he looks young. And then you look at 2017 and you're like, but only because the style of his hair is 90s. Uh-huh.
Like, it's not, like, oh, he looks the same.
And he's got a little more beard now. But
dang. Okay, now we know.
Especially the art from the 1500s.
We knew too, like, that he was a vampire.
Definitely can't.
I know. Totally, like, that's for sure him. We knew he was a thing. We did call, and it's so funny that you brought that up too, because his birthday was a thing. Like, his birthday was trending the whole day. But now, next level thing.
I think it's a, you know, every once in a while we have to reconfirm a thing. You know, we have to check in and renew its thingness.
Yeah.
And also, he's a vampire.
He's a vampire. Like, that's just all there is to it. You can't chalk this up to plastic surgery, because A, he's not that kind of guy. He wouldn't do that. And B, plastic surgery doesn't look this real.
I mean, at worst, the beard and the mustache are fake because vampire.
You think they can't grow a beard?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the rules really are. But if they can't, you could just fake it, right? Wouldn't be that hard.
No, not at all. That would be easy.
Yeah.
Way easier than Botox. As an explanation for any of this. It's not Botox though, because Botox gives you that weird shiny forehead thing,
right? No, you get the pierced or the weird look and the lips and everything. Yeah, no, it's not Botox.
Amazing. Oh, what a good discovery. And yet he's like the nice kind who's not murderous.
Also a good one to just kind of, I don't know if following on social media gets you all of the Keanu Reeves, but just he does good, nice things.
I know. He's just a good dude. He's a really good vampire.
He is. You heard the story about him, like, driving people from an airport when they got laid over, because I think they landed in like Idaho or something, or maybe it was in California, but they landed at an airport that people weren't expecting to be at. And so a lot of people were renting cars, and he's like, I'm running a big old SUV. Who wants to drive with me?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That is amazing. Especially for somebody who I believe is somewhat of an introvert. Can you imagine? That is awesome.
Yeah. It's just, he's like, awesome. Well, this is what we're doing.
Aw, he's so great. Well, you know that one of my hobbies is shopping for things, and that one of the things that I am constantly shopping for and never, ever, ever going to be able to buy is a house. And And I'm getting to where I'm going with this, which is that one thing that I have been noticing in all the staging is that wallpaper is back.
Yes. Uh-huh. I've noticed this too. Like, wallpaper is now a thing because it's no longer that, like, pain wallpaper of the 60s, you know, that'll never come off. Is it better?
Well, now they have what I didn't know actually until just a couple of days ago when a friend mentioned it to me, because she just rented a house that has a big, huge dining room mirror. And she's like, oh, I'm just going to cover it with temporary wallpaper. And I was like, whoa, what now? So apparently that is the sub thing that goes with this thing. There's temporary wallpaper, which is essentially like a sticker. Like a wall-size
sticker. I was assuming
it
was just a little easier to put up and down. I didn't realize it was temp.
I mean, they have both. So wallpaper overall is back. And so people are definitely doing that, the full on wallpaper thing. But then there's also this temporary wallpaper, which I think is probably the kind of thing you would, my guess is you'd want to do it in a smaller space because you don't want to get the bubbles or have it look weird or whatever.
If you've got a studio apartment or something and you just want to like make it look a little different and easily get your deposit back.
Exactly. But yes, wallpaper as a trend is for sure back, which I just find fascinating because it's like everything old is new again. And then I love that it's so like America that we have to like, we're like, yeah, we can bring it back and we like the look and everything, but we're definitely going with the stick-on kind because like, oh, it's exhausting. So I think the stick-on is probably the jam right now.
Can you reuse the removable wallpaper?
I doubt it.
Even though it's removable, you can't put it back.
Also, it's America. So when we make things easy, we also make those things appallingly disposable.
Well, that certainly has been the case. But, you know, in this modern era, I could see somebody being like, you know, it'll make this sell even more, you know, make it environmental, make it recyclable.
Hold on. I'm Googling it. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm ducking it. Reusable temporary wallpaper. Removable. I think it'd be pretty sticky tricky. Sorry, I was reading and talking at the same time. Maybe you could tell.
Sticky, tricky.
But you know, when you take a sticker off, like that's pretty.
Okay, so it's removable, not reusable.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Reusable.
I'm still in. I'm still in for the wallpaper.
I'm still in. And Rich points out in our Discord that it is the natural evolution of the accent wall, which is totally true.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
we had an accent wall in our 2006 Oakland apartment.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, I think it just goes with like the fact that Beatrice and names like that are coming back. Wallpaper.
Gertrude.
And fancy handmade wallpaper, if you want to go that route, is a thing.
Crafted. Artisan. Small batch wallpaper.
Small batch artisan handcrafted. Here's a story about A-lister approved wallpaper.
A-lister is a thing too. My goodness.
Well, yeah, that always has been. But yes, influencer. So there you go. If you're putting your house up for sale and doing some staging, get the temporary kind.
Temporary wallpaper or regular wallpaper.
Wallpaper
is a thing.
Looks great. Probably gluten free. Porter.
Could be. Very well could be. All right, let's get to some things that you have sent us. Thank you for sending them to feedback@itsathing.me. Sean has a potential thing. Hello, Molly and Tom. I think podcast books are becoming a thing. 99% Invisible, How I Built This, and Stuff You Should Know are all advertising companion books.
Oh, totally. Wow, good catch, Sean. I had not even identified this, and yet you are completely right. Yep. I'm going to give that a thing yes.
Allison Sheridan, who does the Nasilicast podcast, but also Taming the Terminal, where they learn how to use command line programming and stuff, put Taming the Terminal out as a book recently. It's totally a thing.
Fascinating. I love it. It's like what we used to call transmedia. It's just crossing from podcast to book.
Right,
that's great. That's a really great spot.
To sell our shirts.
And we're going to need a book.
Okay, got it.
Dude, our book could just be like a quarterly catalog.
I was thinking it's definitely the kind of thing you're going to see at Urban Outfitters, like 437 things.
Yes. 437 yeah. things that are things. And it's mainly yeah. just like, it's like photos. The whole thing catalogs mm-hmm. as App Porter. Yeah. Oh, man. We are going to have to do this. We're going to need a book deal. Oh, we're going to be so busy. Oh, well, we have a photographer on staff.
We do. Wedding
Kevin, speaking of things that we're going to now have to shop for, Kevin is here with a new butter thing and also potential taste test. Greetings, Thingmeisters, longtime Patreon, first time thinging. What a wonderful break from my first weeks of teaching. Almond butter and cashew butter, amateur. Cookie butter, old news. Nutella, how quaint. Enter, says Kevin, the granola butter. Okay. I think this is in pre-thing phase. This might simmer for a few weeks, but apparently it's now going mainstream at that large organic grocery store after only being at World Market. It comes in vanilla chocolate, blueberry, original, and the fall flavor that shall not be named. The ingredients are modestly healthy. It adds texture and flavor, and you might just find yourself eating it straight out of the jar. Exact words from Victoria over here. Thanks for always thinging the heat, says Kevin.
Thinging the heat is my favorite thing ever.
That is amazing. But also
spreadable granola, 100% nut free.
Well, what is it? What is in it? Just actual granola. I'm looking this up.
It's got rolled oats, maple syrup, flax, and olive oil or coconut oil, or both. What
would you spread it on?
Spread it on
like a banana,
yeah, on toast.
Wow, yeah, gluten-free, I guess so.
Toast, I guess.
I have a lot of questions.
So I get it now. The flax and the rolled oats get, you know, smooshed up and they make the paste, right? They're not whole anymore. They're like if you overcook, right? Mm-hmm. Then you put the oil in to give it the peanut butter consistency and the maple syrup for a little more consistency and the sweetness. Oh, all right.
I see
how it works.
Was an incredible slow burn over here, which is that it's because it's no nuts. Okay. Nut sorry. Free. Yeah. Really slow burn for like people who can't eat nuts.
Yeah.
Granola butter.
This is a good one. Good one, Kevin.
Get it. That is a really good find and I've never heard of it. And I feel like now I'm going to start seeing it everywhere.
Oh, yeah. This is the Bader Meinhof effect of groceries is going to happen right now. Mm-hmm. Joe shared a link on Discord proving thingness. Gardening is so much a thing that Bloomberg is writing about which gardening choices increase home values.
Oh my God. That
so we're
is
not
amazing.
Just talking landscaping here. We're talking like the whole thing.
Wow. That's fascinating. I wonder how much the, what are they called? The big tubs, you know, the metal tubs.
Yeah.
The increased troughs. Value over time, the troughs. Gardening. Heaven help us. Okay. And then another J. Martin wrote in about other animal cams, which is hilarious. Catching up with the latest episode, Re-Animal Cams. My wife and I have been watching Cornell Lab of Ornithology's bird cams for years now. They have all kinds, watching all kinds of birds in Texas, Panama, and elsewhere. allaboutbirds.org/cams. We primarily watch the Sapsucker Woods feed. We're all going to become gardening bird watchers. Oh, this is amazing.
Well done, another J. Martin.
I just clicked it and it's so relaxing. Oh,
don't
I'm going to
fall asleep yet. We still have the shout outs.
Right. I'm back. I'm back. This is awesome. I love the shout outs.
The shout-outs this week from our producer, Rich, are based on the names of roller coasters.
I feel like we really need a sound effect for this, like, Anyway.
Yeah, the best I have is from a previous shout-out.
Not quite, though. All right, here we go. And then we have to look up where all they are because my boyfriend is convinced that all the good roller coasters are in Ohio, and he always thinks, like, argues with me about it, and we had to look it up, and apparently, like, a lot of them are, which I didn't know, but anyway, here we go. Kevin Sill, Le Monstre.
Eric Duncan, Colossus, Kampf der Giganten.
Jake Woods, The Smiler.
Aw. Gabrielle Cohen, Intimidator 305.
That one's got to be in Ohio. Brad Sparks, Top Thrill Dragster.
Andrew Wyatt, mind blower.
Mike Akins, python in bamboo forest.
That's so scary. Why is the python in the bamboo forest?
I know, it's terrifying. Let's see. Le Monstre is in Montreal.
Montreal, of course it is.
I think that Intimidator went all the one
I
with
bet
the
Colossus might be in Germany.
Dude, look, this is what happened. There he is, producer Rich from Ohio, in the already. He's like, Cedar Point! Yep. That's where they all are. So now we know it's like all coming together. Of course, Rich had to do roller coasters because it's an Ohio thing.
Yeah, right. All comes back around.
This is amazing. And thank you, by the way. The shout outs go out to those of you who support us at the shout out level on Patreon at patreon.com/itsathing. We are so grateful to all of you who support us at any level and to all of you who listen to the show. Really, it is like our weekly moment of joy.
You can also email us your things. Keep them coming, folks. feedback@itsathing.me.
See you next week.
Bye.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.